The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
I was a taxi driver. Now tourists don't really know our country, how this thing go. A car coming on the other side, between the side. Look out, they shout with discontent. They think we have an accident. Say we driving on the wrong side. By the law, we don't abide. But I was a taxi driver, was a deep sea diver. And when I want to pass, I would mash the gas. I was a taxi driver. I say I was a taxi driver. I was a deep sea diver. And when I want to pass, I would mash the gas. I was a taxi driver.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 29th of January, 2026, and you are on the clock with Elsa Green because I feel like I'm frozen and it's only going to get worse or better for some people. Some people relish the cold. They love it. They desire it greatly. And some people have been praying for the cold. But now we must pray for those who are not prepared for the cold. Our weather report yesterday, a forecast states that it's likely, the forecast is that in the northern Bahamas, I think over the weekend will be the coldest day. Extreme Northwest Territory and Northwest Territories may experience lows in the low 40s at the coldest point in the cold front. So we know that we live in the tropics and we are not prepared for the cold. Our homes are not insulated for the cold, right? So if you have extra blankets, if you have extra jackets, hoodies, socks, if you got long johns, if you got old pajamas, right, that you no longer wear, but people could use them to layer under their clothes, let's get those items to the distribution centers, the Salvation Army distribution centers, Bahamas Humane Society thrift store, right, is not a distribution center per se, but it's a place where people will go to look for extra items like that. The churches, Great Commission, right? If you can make a donation to Great Commission, blankets, socks, TAMS. If you got little mittens for the young ones, for the kids, to keep them warm and bundled up, let's share the resources that we do have. People, let us share as much as possible. If you can afford it, if you have the space, if you have the resources, and you are aware of families with children that are unhoused, maybe sleeping on the streets, and you are familiar with them, if you can, take them in at night. So people who are do not have to spend these extreme cold nights on the street without shelter. Finish my housekeeping for the morning, but I see the caller on the line, producer. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Hey, morning, Miss Green. How you doing?
Hi, good. Thank you. How you doing?
Well, you enjoyed the weather last night?
No.
Boy, it was cold last night.
Yes.
Yeah, boy. I mean, my girl, we get the blanket. But I'm 100% sure, right? You lying and C CA, and not you, right? You all may be called parents, say, but 9 months from now, because it goes better.
Listen, you get to live responsibly.
You know what behavior is going to go better, right? It's procreation for us.
That's the cultural thing. I've been hearing it from I was a little child, right? From I was a young person. That's what the cold weather is for. Listen, sharing body heat is a proven technique to stay warm in the winter. But be responsible with your activities. But also, listen, on another note, right? On another note for families who have like insecure housing, you don't have room heaters, you don't have anything to heat the space, you could make a fun night out of it, right? Everybody in the same room, maybe in the same bed, you could make a fort with chairs and blankets, right? And everybody could sort of huddle together, but you make it fun. You could watch movies under the blankets in the fort, right? You could go on YouTube and find little simple homemade projector techniques to project the movie onto the wall. There's lots of things that parents could do, right, to sort of normalize this experience for their kids and their families. Thank you very, very much for that inspiration, caller. There we go. Okay, so let's get the show started. It's Thursday, the 29th of January. Hannah Hasty Tynes, people, we see you tonight, St. John's Auditorium Village. St. John's College. The Anatole Rogers Memorial Lectures also taking place tonight. Dr. Melinda Smith of Bahamian descent, a Bahamian, a QC Comet at the Harry C. Moore Library. Thursday the 29th, 2026, Ministry of National Security's Community Centers Awareness Week continues with Culture Vibes at the Quaco Street Community Center. Now, they're going to have bouncing castles and face painting and horse and buggy rides. They're going to have a drunken rush out. They're going to have music. They're going to have performances. It's going to be a wonderful day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then, of course, tonight, Junior Junkanoo Parade, Thursday, the 29th of January, starting 6 p.m. in town. Who bay for if it ain't for the little children to do their junkanoo? Now, this week, I wanted to have a conversation about Junkanoo because I feel a way. I feel a way about the kiddies, the chirins, right, and the family islands celebrating Junkanoo, right, of what is considered, right, the traditional Christmas holiday Junkanoo season or schedule, right? I remember when Junior Junkanoo used to be before Boxing Day Junkanoo. Right? And there's rationale, there are reasons why the schedule has shifted. It centers around the policy of prioritizing academics, right? That's sound and simple. Having the parades after the holiday allows children the time to balance preparation for the parade and preparation for exams, right? That's cool. But why so late? It's the end of January. And we have family islands who will be celebrating their Junkanoo in February, right? Now, on the family island side, there's also rationale. I asked earlier, is this national Junkanoo festival product rooted in, right? Is it rooted in a internal cultural priority or is it rooted in an external tourism priority, right? If it is, right, that we have a policy that acknowledges to generate the resources necessary for the growth, right? The holistic growth of Junkanoo. And at the same time, the preservation of the core of Junkanoo, that we're going to need to figure out how to incorporate tourists into this experience, right? To be able to generate the necessary. So I can appreciate that, right? But first of all, could I get like a written statement or the rationale for the structuring of the events in the National Junkanoo Festival? And then that leads me to the next question. What happened to the rest of events that were postponed? See, remember NJC, National Junkanoo Committee, you are being assessed. The JCNP says, man, we got this. Why are y'all interfering? NJC said, well, we've expanded this thing beyond just Boxing Day, and New Year's. Beyond just New Providence, we need management structures and teams that will cover the entire archipelago, right? So we understand the rationale, but you still are going to be assessed. And earlier, well, at the end of last year, you indicated to us that you feel the need to postpone the events because you know, the cultural calendar was already filled. Now, surely you knew that when you made the announcement. When you scheduled the events, you knew that. But that's okay. You postponed the events. Where are they? Where are they? What are they? When will they take place? You're not going to call Junior John Canoe a part of that, right? Are you? Is that what you meant? Like, give us information. Tell us what you're doing so that we can make a sound and reasonable assessment and evaluation of what it is you're doing and the policy decisions that were made. You know, I could spend all day critiquing the JCNP, but there is validity in some of their points. And the NJC has a lot of work to do. Because surely you didn't attempt, or the minister didn't attempt, to gain public support for the shift, for the policy shift and the structural, the same way the JCNP treated us. Surely no. No. That's not acceptable. This is back to Junior John Canoe Parade. Here's one of the biggest issues for me for holding the parade so far away from New Year's and Boxing Day, the traditional parades. Are the people going to come out and support it? Have we lost the Christmas spirit, the holiday spirit? Are people going to come out and support it? I mean, the Battle of the Bands was in the holiday season, and still it was poorly attended. So anyway, I just wanted to put that on the table for a moment. Again, we have lots to talk about today. Also, I'm still looking for Soulantro. Not Cilantro, but Soulantro, a.k.a. Shadon Benny. A.K.A. Listen, when you get Trini people come to your country and say they can cook for you, but they need Shadon Benny, you got to get them to Shadon Benny. So please, if you have a source, if you could direct me to where I could purchase some Shadon Benny, please call the show. If you want to join today's conversation, please join the show. If you have some news that is news, but we didn't know about it, send me a text or call the show. Call the show. We've got lots to talk about today. So here are the numbers, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. For instance, as an article, PHA approves overtime for medical staff, for nurses. This is important. I mean, I didn't realize it was just a matter of approving it. Because it suggested that there was no money available in the country at all, and we didn't know what we were going to do. I'm glad that you all approved it. This is good. This is good. There is the Uber taxi story in today's Tribune. Uber proposal soundly rejected by taxi union. There is Mitchell to PLPs. No need to talk to reporters. Following up for me at least, major projects for GB. Davis unveils $550 million in Grand Bahama projects and landmark power deals. Nassau Guardian, Nassau Tribune, respectively. Those are the headlines, right? It's a fascinating story. And then we have a rundown of the Royal Bahamas Police Force press briefing. I think they call it the annual press briefing. Like, we could sit right there, right? Because the first question we would ask is, why do you only do the briefing once a year? Why is it only an annual press briefing? Could we have a similar briefing like every quarter? Could, like, a mid-year briefing as well? Why is it only once a year? Anyway, so these are some of the stories we're going to talk about today. Today's Guardian headline, Amera, no deal with government yet. That's such a fascinating space. On today's Guardian, so let's get it started. Bottom of the main page, woman injured in traffic accidents years apart seeks urgent neurological care. Right? And I want to take us from there. I think it's a must-read. People, please pick up today's Guardian and read that story. in the stories coming out of the RBPF press briefing. Traffic fines surged 224% amid rising road accidents. There's a particular statement I am looking for. Here we go. Ms. Knowles, referencing the Commissioner of Police, Shanta Knowles, the article reads, Ms. Knowles said the figures remain troubling, particularly given ongoing road safety initiatives. And I want to stick a pin right there. You see, because in the story in The Guardian, this woman was injured in traffic accidents years apart, right? Years apart. You would think that something could have improved in those years. So when I hear the Commissioner of Police say that the figures remain troubling, particularly given ongoing road safety initiatives, I want to ask, what are those initiatives? Because what your officers are doing on the road, that is not a road safety initiative, right? The Royal Bahamas Police Force Traffic Division and officers that are sent out on the road to conduct road exercises are not conducting, what's the specific language? Road safety initiatives. They're collecting tax on behalf of the... They only stopping people to look at their license disc and to ask them for their insurance. People will drive past them on their cell phones while they're doing that. People, listen, they got a crew of officers, and this is not an attempt. I am not highlighting police presence for people to avoid them because people don't care. The people don't care. There is an exercise that takes place on Meeting Street, a number of exercises. This one almost immediately at the Blue Hill Road side. The officers are waiting for cars to turn left off of Blue Hill Road onto Meeting Street, right, to check their license and inspection and whatever. The vast majority of cars that pass them have turned left on red at an intersection that does not permit them to turn left on red. And I guarantee you they're not giving anybody a ticket for turning left on red. And this takes place immediately outside what is supposed to be one of your premier public high schools in the country. All day, all night, Marianne, they watching people do foolishness on the road and the police ignore it. I mean, it is a mockery to say that we are concerned giving the ongoing road safety initiatives. The commissioner references things like jingles and campaigns. I imagine included in that is billboards that have been improperly erected and actually constitute or become a road hazard as opposed to a mechanism to bring public awareness to road safety. It is a joke. It is a mockery. Every day on Shirley Street, every morning, traffic is obstructed by people on their phones, looking down in their laps, oblivious to what is happening around them, driving at 7 miles an hour, sometimes coming to a complete stop. Just this week, I witnessed a mom, a Grammy, in her car with her friend, the two of them gallivanting Pond Road. Grammy, we were at a red light. A Grammy was so deep in her phone, she didn't even realize that the light had turned green. She's just chilling, enjoying her phone call. It is a mockery. And the families, the estates of those who have died on the public roads need to figure out how to bring the government to account. And the actors whose speech clearly represent to me, if not legally, jingles and songs. Like, you mean you want a jingle, a song, an ad for drivers to listen to with the headsets in the ears that the police gave them? You're not supposed to be compromising with drivers. You're supposed to be reminding them of what the standard is. But vast majority of officers in the Royal Bahamas Police Force obviously either do not know what the standard is for road usage or do not care. Let's go to the text line. Good morning, Aaron. There's a problem with the repaving of the roads higher than the drains and not framing the drain manhole to the level of the road. That's now a big drop for your car to fall into, which is worse than a pothole. It almost broke up my car one day last week, especially in the night. You don't see it. Listen, and if I see another minister, including another minister or MP, including my own, pretending to patch road in the improper road gear, I'm going to scream. They think it's a joke. It's PR. We had a wonderful segment. Like, the segment is cool, you know, on a different station. The segment is really nice. But I don't want to see anybody who is untrained to patch roads, patch roads. And if anybody could patch road and you don't need training, right? If anybody could patch road and you don't need training, why you don't give me a contract? Give me a contract. Give me a contract. Let me do it. Put on my flow shine shoes or my boat shoes and pat it down. On another note, Minister Clay Sweden. Minister Clay Sweden. You don't know any rake and scrape musicians? You don't know any musicians who play traditionally Bahamian music? Why are all y'all MPs and political wannabes making campaign music and promotional material without a lick, an ounce of Bahamian in it? If you get a Bahamian artist to make a song for you for your campaign video, why are they making a trap song for you? Why? Same goes for the former prime minister around here talking about sixes and sevens. Please elevate, elevate. As you elevate your campaign, you bring your followers with you. Don't dumb your campaign down to your perception of your followers. Your followers are not dumb. Stop dumbing it down. Anyway, multiple articles reflecting on the Commissioner of Police's press briefing and the info therein carry the same language. The Commissioner, again, and I can read it again, Ms. Knoll said the figures remain troubling, particularly given ongoing road safety initiatives. And I just want to know, what are those initiatives? The police in town, not policing pedestrians, the tourists just throwing themselves in the road, the Bahamians encouraging them to do it in the face of traffic. You're just obstructing traffic. You're slowing down the economy. You can't get police officers to use their turn signal. You can't get them to not turn left on red where they're not permitted to do so. Just tell me, what are the safety initiatives? What are they? So we at least maybe we could help out. Maybe we could help out. Maybe we could do a thing. Let's go to the text line quickly, and then we're going to transition to another headline. Ms. Green, that sign billboard on the eastern side of the corner that meets West Bay Street and Adastra Gardens causes a blind corner. Keep pointing out these things, please. I will do. Somebody has to. Because the people who are supposed to be doing it are not. You know, the Ministry of Works created a pothole hotline, a WhatsApp number. But the instructions are that you are to take a picture of the pothole and send it, right, to the number. Because the picture will have metadata and they could go to the location, they could find it and whatever. Am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to take the picture while I'm driving? Is that what I'm supposed to do? Ministry of Works? On another note, with all of the staff assigned to the Ministry of Works, you telling me that you've not instructed staff to please note all potholes as they traverse the island? Just like how every police officer is a traffic officer. Every police officer is a traffic officer. You had to sign up in headquarters and central, all over. Every officer is a traffic officer. In the same way, surely every member of staff at the Ministry of Works should concern themselves about potholes, right? Why is it incumbent upon me, the ordinary citizen, to do it? Here's another text. Is it possible for traffic controls to have improved if up to 5 to 8 taxi drivers and large tour buses are now blocking the entrance to Montague? Thank you, texter. Thank you for reminding me. And let me tell you what the irony is. SIB, Securities Intelligence Branch, or in Special Intelligence Branch, whatever type of intelligence it is in there, they are now located immediately opposite Montague Beach. All right? They look from their windows, they watching Montague Beach. And I can't imagine that they have not seen the, like you say, the buses and the taxis. And they're so bold with it. Let me tell you how bold they are with the texter. Thank you for reminding me. The taxi driver will drive in and then turn his vehicle around, orient it, position it, so that when it's time to leave, he can leave, he can exit the park through the entrance. You see, so when you come around Montague, there's the First Yacht Club. There's an entrance for the First Yacht Club and an exit for the First Yacht Club. And then there's an exit for Montague Park. You know how many it's like an entrance? And these are not, see, y'all like to say, y'all like to suggest that it's the poor, scrubby, ignorant people, the little boys who didn't want to go to school. The Haitian migrants that can't read English who are doing this stuff. It is the fanciest of Bahamians, the most well-educated, and the best paid, the most well-paid Bahamians doing this foolishness. They turn through the exit like it's an entrance. And then when you get to the first entrance, now you really have to slow down because you could be faced with a car forcing its way out of the entrance that is immediately opposite Securities Intelligence Branch and the Governor General's office, where all the police and defense force officers be guarding our most precious resources, right? Right there. Cars regularly do it now. And the entrance at the Montague access to take you from Village and Shirley to Montague, right there, like the texter said, the tour buses, the taxi vans, they block the entrance, they park on the sidewalk, and they position themselves to leave the park through the entrance. And the police are right there. And there are cameras everywhere. You got the 2 yacht clubs, you got Governor General's office and SIB. You got what had appeared to be an Island Luck building coming. You know they could afford the cameras. So I was stunned that these young men, they may have been filming a little video, you know. They may have been filming a little video on their motorcycle with their little cigars hanging out their mouth right in front of SIB. Right there. Thank you, texters. Says drivers who want to get to the beach now have to inch their way along around a long line of illegally. By the way, big police CCTV could see them. The commissioner telling us jokes. Notice I did not say she joking. No, because she's not. She's telling us. I like how you phrased that. All right. So you can follow the press briefing. You could read up on it. Here are the headlines. Commissioner defends force against corruption claim. Murders plummet 31% as major crime hits record lows. Only 4 police convictions despite 169 civilian complaints. That one is fascinating. And traffic fines surge 224% amid rising road accidents. Just before we transition back to that headline, traffic fines surge 224% amid rising road accidents. Did the Commissioner of Police, did the Royal Bahamas Police Force break down the fines, right? What are the fines for? Are they driving without a license, driving in an unlicensed vehicle, driving without insurance? Exactly what are the fines for? See, because then we could make an assessment of the efficacy, the effectiveness of your ongoing road safety initiatives. What is it that the police are seeing can be indicated by what the fines are for. It would be great to see a breakdown. Before we go, police recorded 12,520 1 road accidents in 2025, a 12% increase from the 11,157 recorded in 2024. These are recorded accidents, right? Of those crashes, 59 were fatal, resulting in 65 deaths. Of those crashes, 59 incidents involved fatalities, resulting in 65 road traffic deaths. Right? And then we see women injured in traffic accidents years apart seeks urgent neurological care after two tragic traffic accidents left Dalud Luima with severe mobility issues and chronic pain. She traveled to Florida to seek urgent neurological care that could change her life. Luima's rocky medical journey first began in 2018 when she was struck by an SUV while attempting to cross Carmichael Road. Like I say, y'all run red lights and stop signs. You speed while on your cell phone. You obstruct traffic while on your cell phone in a country from a paper cut. Please, let's do better, Bahamas. Okay, producer, now's a good time for a break. Let's take a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to get into some more headlines. Mitchell to PLPs, no need to talk to reporters. Uber proposal soundly rejected by taxi union. And then maybe we're going to walk through the major projects for GB. Grand Bahama, it is an interesting conversation. You know, whenever I see a MOU, LOI would like to know exactly what is happening, and I would like you to be pellucidly clear. We're going to a break. When we get back, we're going to delve back into the headlines. Stay tuned. 96.9 FM.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I avoid?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Put more money back in your pocket with a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 357-764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We got bad brains and we bad pay. I say we got bad brains and we bad pay. I don't care what nobody say. We got bad brains and we bad pay. Now to most of you.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I didn't know exactly which story I was going to before the break, but now I know. Mitchell to PLPs, no need to talk to reporters. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. We're getting back into the headlines. Fred Mitchell has told PLP politicians that they should not feel compelled to answer questions from the press. Wow. In a voice note yesterday, but let me stick a pin. I could be honest with you. If you're not Leon Lundy, Pia Glover role, perhaps you need to seek permission before you speak to the press. I'm just saying, on a track record of speaking, Lundy and Pia Glover role are the only people who could speak to them without seeking permission first. They are articulate and they make sense. When Tropical Storm Imelda was approaching and I tuned into the DRM press conference with Leon Lundy, responsible for the authority or the agency at the time, I felt safe when this man spoke. Y'all want to have people around here telling us we would have had a storm and it hit at 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoon? No, 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 we don't want that. Anyway, let's get back to the article. In a voice note yesterday, he said there is, quote, nothing that compels you to answer a phone from a reporter and nothing that compels you to give a statement to the press, close quote. I mean, he's not lying. Noting that when statements are made and, quote, there are what seems to be unforced errors, as a result, our opponents are reading the tea leaves, we go to page 5, and are too busy trying to make 2 plus 2, 5. Folks, 2 plus 2 today still equal 4, not 5, he added. See, look here. We're going to talk about G.B. Grand Bahama in a second, but let me read that again, right? Quote, there are what seems to be unforced errors. What's an unforced error? I ain't too good on my unforced error is an error that you just make, right? Like there wasn't any pressure or nothing really. You just made an error, right? Is that what an unforced error is? Anyway, it seems to be unforced errors. As a result, our opponents are reading the tea leaves and are too busy trying to make 2 plus 2, 5. Close quotes. Quote, folks, 2 plus 2 today still equals 4, not 5, he added. So, chairman, because this is the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party speaking, because the Minister of Foreign Affairs would never say something like that. Not in his capacity as Minister of Foreign Affairs. The chairman would say things like that. So, what you're telling us is that the opposition can't tell the difference between malfeasance and incompetence? That you're just incompetent, but when they see that, they automatically assume it's malfeasance. Is that what you're saying, Mr. Mitchell, chairman of the PLP party, and definitely not the Minister of Foreign Affairs? Because if that's what you're saying, it makes sense to me. Mr. Mitchell's comments come as media houses increasingly seek comment from prospective candidates and political newcomers as parties prepare for the next general election. Quote, I am an observant student of politics, and I always counsel folks not to impose deadlines and declarations on yourself that are not necessary and that you have to eat later, close quotes, he said. Listen, I am so impressed by the poetry. I am so impressed by the poetry that I'm going to pause and go to this caller. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Screen, how you do this morning?
I am good, thank you, sir.
I would agree with Mr. Mitchell on what he said, and I can tell you why.
Tell me why. Mm-hmm.
If you're still getting candidates, you're still trying to find candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait till you get your 41 candidates. You then take them in, and this is the hymn sheet that we're singing on. We don't want this one singing on page one, this one singing on page two. No, we want everybody on one accord.
Okay, stick a pin.
He's saying that for now.
Stick a pin, hold on.
Once he done name his candidate, I think he'll give them some leeway too.
To speak more.
To the press. But you don't know what the situation is on Paradise Island. You don't know what the situation is in Rumkey.
Especially,
everybody has to be singing off the same hymn sheet.
Listen, especially if you live in Golden Isles.
If you ask me something, and I'm a candidate for the other thing, they ask you something, You're saying something different. It sounds like a bunch of mix-up people.
Okay, stick a pin. I agree with you. There is an aspect, right? There's a part of the space in which that messaging is important. See, I wanted to say while you was talking, look how you use hymnal and not war strategy. You see, I say, look how you say, we singing from the same hymn book. We must be on the same page, as opposed to we reading from the same war strategy. We must be on the same. I like how you said that. But I agree with you, right? Like, the messaging has to be consistent across the board.
Everybody has to be saying the same thing.
But that's only one small part of it, Uncle. That's only one small part of it. But I just wanted to let you know, I appreciate that and that element, especially if you have new people. But here's a question I have for you. They didn't cover all of this in the candidates' training?
You mean to tell them not to speak to the reporters and tell me all?
On one accord, yeah. In one accord.
Yeah, but Ms.
But it better have more than five seatbelts.
Did you see the teacher tell you something and then she had to go back to remind you? Then, like, you forget, you know. She's just making sure you don't forget.
I got you. I am a particularly interesting quote. I'm an observant student of politics, and I always counsel folks not to impose deadlines and declarations on yourself that are not necessary and that you have to eat later, close quotes, he said, full stop. Oh, sorry, comma, adding that apart from constitutional requirements, nothing compels the party to set public deadlines, right? That's the part I like right there. Thank you.
But let me say this, Ms. Green, before you go.
Okay.
Whether you a PLP, a FNM, a CO, whatever you are,
mm-hmm.
once you're a bohemian,
mm-hmm.
you must say that. Mr. Mitchell is one of the most smartest politicians in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give that to him.
Savvy bad. Savvy bad.
He is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Good. Absolutely. And that's why... Uncle, I'd be mischievous letting you go before I say this, but that's why that statement is so interesting to me when he says, and I always counsel folks not to impose deadlines and declarations on yourself that are not necessary and that you have to eat later, close quotes. He said, you know, when I talk about the danger of importing, like bringing into governance aspects of politics, right? That are successful or effective in your party, but really have no place in governance. The office of the deputy prime minister is one of those mechanisms. It's not in the Constitution. It's not required for good governance. It is a political mechanism created to buffer the leader of the party from challenge. That's what it is. And it was imported into governance. And now we have an office of the deputy prime minister and a plate and car and all kinds of things without a word from the Constitution indicating to make it so. Right? And so in the same way, right, like this seems to be an element of politics that has been imported into governance. Not to impose deadlines and declarations that are not necessary and that you have to eat later. See, I want to talk about Grand Bahama and the commentary, right? Because the critique that arises out of the Prime Minister's commentary surrounding the Grand Bahama announcements is sort of similar, right? There's similarities and correlations here. You don't tell them more than they need to know. See, but Mitchell speaks to his opponents not being able to add 2 and 2 to 4. But the citizens of your country cannot be your opponents. How could your employer be your opponent? That's why I found that most interesting, right? Not just that it highlights the culture that we're going to face leading into this election, right? That the way that their manifestos are presented to us is going to be rooted in this thinking. They don't need to know everything. Don't import no debt. Nothing you have to come back and eat later. You notice how carefully the Minister of National Security referenced the blueprint for change while responding to critics of whether the state was living up to its mandate as expressed in its manifesto. He said, we didn't put that in there. Why would you even assume that? Anyway, let's get back to the article quickly. Meanwhile, Senator Michael Barnett Ellis, in an op-ed published in the Tribune today, criticized Mr. Mitchell for his recent overseas travel, arguing that his decision to travel to London for meetings, including one conducted via Zoom. Hold on. So he went to London for the meeting and still had to do it via Zoom? Was out of step with the country's current realities. She said the trip was difficult to justify at a time when the public healthcare system is under strain and questioned whether public funds are being spent with sufficient restraint, warning that such decisions risk eroding public trust and reinforcing perceptions of an administration disconnected from everyday pressure. All right. In my notes from yesterday, I'm almost certain I have an article with the Office of the Prime Minister where he's raised about the travel budget. I really, oh my goodness, and I cannot find it. I'm so sorry, audience. Let's take a pause and go to the text line. Good morning. I don't see why Fred had to tell the PLPs not to speak to the press and by extension the Bahamian people. We have not heard from them for almost 5 years, so ain't nobody trying to hear them now. Some people don't even know who these people are anyway. Okay. Why, Julian, think we can't see nothing wrong? No, no, that's not what it is. Listen. I'm not a teacher, but let's read for a second. He was very precise, and then you notice that I highlighted his example or his example as a consideration among many considerations. So looking at that narrow aspect of the dynamic, he is correct. It's not, let me not say he's correct. It's not unreasonable to have that position, right? But we know that he's not necessarily saying we can't see nothing wrong. He's just pointing to the best of what we can see. We got to learn to read the room. Here we go. Wow, this caller was the same expert who was conversing with Howard and Garth months ago that the FNM was not ready and not serious because they did not have a full slate of candidates. This is from last year, June. Now, 8 months later, he says the PLP candidates can't speak because they just get selected. Are these unserious PLP candidates? What an interesting text. So Howard and Garth, not to single them out, but that conversation suggested that the FNM was not ready because they did not have a slate of candidates. That's not the reason why I would say that they are not ready. They don't have a full slate of responses to what's going on in the public domain and in governance, let alone politics. That would be my answer. Let's go to another text. Miss Green, that does not have to be fact. Not because Mr. Mitchell is the most talkative and the most magniloquent. So you see, even I get to practice the words. That's the first time I've seen that text. A magniloquent makes him, it could be that a suppressed subordinate in the party like Sherry Bazard and many others. Okay. Just for a moment, I appreciate what you're saying. Just because he is the most articulate, right, or he is the voice that you hear most frequently, it does not mean that he is the smartest or the best in the party. But what I would say is if we take a look at Mr. Mitchell's historic record, right, being an independent, navigating both parties, finding himself in a party, becoming the backbone of a party to the point where I would even call him a kingmaker, right? Becoming a kingmaker. There are things that Mr. Mitchell has done that I don't know if we've seen other individuals do it. And before we move on, I will make this point. It could be possible that you will not see another person do it because only one person could do it, and that's the nature of the thing that is being done. I want to thank you, text, for that. Another text, yes, I agree. Mr. Mitchell is smart, but sneaky. PLPs are not to be trusted. FNM is still better. Oh, boy. Listen, first of all, we can't just say that Mr. Mitchell is sneaky. I don't know if sneaky is the word. And I don't know if it's fair to single Mr. Mitchell out in a political culture endorsed by a political class, right? That in and of itself endorses this type of engagement, a lack of transparency, a culture of obfuscation. That's where you don't lie, but you don't take great pains to make it as clear as possible, right? So I don't know if it's fair to single Mr. Mitchell out alone as sneaky in a political culture that is sneaky, right? Like, I don't know if I appreciate my entire government taking a stick of a shine. Not the government. The whole government acts that way now. Why are ordinary citizens being treated like opponents? Why are standard or commonly accepted rules of governance being not just ignored, not just bastardized, but removed, right? Like, we push that aside overtly to accommodate what is political party business. See, to be a good politician, you have to speak the truth in a way that it cannot be used by the opposition, right? But never do you tell yourself that I don't have to speak the truth. Anyway, it's that word obfuscation that I wanted. It's the word obfuscation that I wanted to take us to the Grand Bahama Power. It's not power. That's my bad. My bad language. The Grand Bahama Project announcement, right? And we have questions on whether the Prime Minister was being truthful. Did he lie? Here are the headlines so you could read them for yourself. Nassau Guardian, major projects for GB. Tribune, Davis unveils $550 million in Grand Bahama projects and landmark power deal. Emera says PM's Grand Bahama power announcement far from ideal. Ramming confirms GB Power Company is acquisition. And I saw today released by the Grand Bahama Chamber of Commerce a statement in relation to what was uttered by the Prime Minister. I'm so glad I'm out of time. I have so much to say, and perhaps now is not the time to say it. So I will take this cue from my producer, and we shall end the show here. Thank you for joining. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for texting. And thank you for staying tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, because I know you ain't got no place better to be today. Have a great day, Bahamas, and remember, let us share the upcoming severe weather. Have a great day. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Guardian Radio AM. CA Newry is up next.
I don't care what nobody say. We got bad ways. Yeah.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalk.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.